Hi, I'm James Randi, and you're listening to the BS Alert Show.
Welcome to the BS Alert Podcast. I'm your host, Pyle. And with me, as always, is Wise Girl.
Hi.
And Uber Bill.
Why, hello.
And, this is episode number 5. Ooh. We're just moving on up. We are moving on up.
To the east side. We're dating ourselves.
Yes. I want to remind everybody, you can visit us on the web at www.bsalert.com.
Go now.
And our podcast will be available at podcasts.bsalert.com. You can download the MP3s, you can stream them right there, and you can find us on iTunes if you do a search for BS Alert, or you can find a link on the bsalert.com website that'll pop up iTunes and help you subscribe, and we certainly appreciate it. And of course, we encourage everybody to come hang out on the website, comment, become part of our community of critical thinkers. And speaking of critical thinking, that's what the theme of this show is today, is skepticism, critical thinking, paranormal, all that kind of stuff. Is it real? Is it bogus?
Guess which way we're going to slant.
And we've got a very special guest with us.
Very special.
James Randi will be with us a little bit later on, and he's going to talk about this topic as well as many others. And in the meantime, I think we're just going to jump right in, see what's been going on, and see what we think about some stuff. Let's see. Well, one of the first things that kind of weird paranormal thing that kind of struck us that we had to put up on the site was the situation going on in Georgia.
Georgia. They put the fun in fundamental extremism. That's my home state, actually. In Georgia, you may have read, they are experiencing an incredible drought, record-breaking drought. I guess they keep records for such a thing. And so to solve this problem, the governor, Governor Sonny Perdue, who is a scientist of a sorts, he was a veterinarian by trade before he became a governor, has convened various religious leaders. He's invited people of many different denominations to come for a prayer meeting and to solve this drought, to bring water back to the fair state of Georgia.
They're praying for rain.
They are going to pray for rain.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and it's unfortunate that we exported all of the Cherokees from Georgia back in the 19th century, or, you know, they could do a dance, perhaps, and just be involved. And that whole process, I'm not. It's unclear.
Shame. Yeah, they got rid of all the Indians
because
otherwise.
They have a specific, or, you know, I don't mean to stereotype, but it seems that they were prepared for such a thing. I don't know that, you know, the rabbi down at the temple is really ready to pray for rain.
Well, we've obviously come full circle now. You know, we've advanced so much that now
we're going backwards.
And I guess what happens if they pray and it doesn't rain? Are they going to start sacrificing creatures? You know?
I think goats. Yeah, we have some
start
goats.
With goats, maybe?
Goats, yeah. That's a pretty good sacrificial creature, you know. Not as insulting to your deities as, say, a chicken. but not as messy as your cows or people.
Horses are good, I'm thinking.
Horses are good.
They probably have some in Georgia.
But they're, oh yes, they do. They're a little fuzzier, cuddlier.
True. Goats
are, you can part with a goat.
What do the people in Georgia think about this? I mean, are they, you know?
I'm sure that there's some that are probably shaking their heads and going, holy crap.
Maybe they just turn on their faucet if water comes out. They're like, what drought?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, presumably if you're down with the whole praying to God for results thing, you have to be of the belief that God is okay with the drought. You know,
yeah, I mean, didn't God create the drought? I think the thing that's going to be the most insufferable about this whole thing is if it actually does rain.
Oh, God help
us. You know, it's going to rain sooner or later.
Yeah, it's going to rain.
Happens.
And it's going to be, what, a miracle.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It'll be a miracle.
Prayers answered.
Hallelujah. Absolutely. And so, you know, they're just going to, the flocks will be, they'll be a flocking when rain comes pouring
down.
So,
yeah, this the paranormal, the supernatural is just, it's everywhere. We've been debating off the podcast whether we're just more tuned into it and we're noticing it more or whether it's always been going on. That's something that we don't know for sure, but it sure seems like there's a lot more supernatural being kind of flaunted in the mainstream media
nowadays, yeah.
And give you an example. Here's something off CNN's website. They had an article about this old house and what to do if things are in your house. Critter in your house, what to do. And, of course, it talks about a wild animal loose, you know. Don't try to herd a bird with a broom or a tennis racket. It'll just panic and try to hide. So they're, you know, giving
use
you
a shotgun, like everyone else.
They're just giving you some advice, you know, what to do if
there's a possum under your porch.
Yeah. What to do? I mean, I don't understand getting critters out of your house. And then there's what happens if you accidentally take down a bearing wall.
Do not use a sledgehammer to dispose of mice.
You know, that would be a good trick to play on somebody. You get a little tape recorder of a kitten and you just go up in the attic and you chuck it down the side into the walls. Somebody's house.
There's a kitten in the walls.
That would be bad. But if you scroll down in the article and, you know it's what to do if you lit a fire but you didn't open the damper or the painter left a window open while doing the exterior. Now there's dust inside, lead paint dust. Is your painter still using lead paint? I don't know.
Only if he's Chinese.
It's allowed for exterior paint.
Okay. Oh, really? Just don't need it.
But down here near the bottom, it says the house is haunted.
Oh, sweet crap.
Because right there along with accidentally taking down a bearing wall or, you know.
So basically being a fucking idiot.
Or contractors taking a lien out on your house, how to deal with that. There is, if the signs of haunting are auditory, first rule out animals by bringing in a pest control expert. See crisis number one.
Are you an idiot? See crisis number two.
Listen to this. Although ghosts seem scary, they won't harm you, says Stephen A. Schwartz, a research associate at the Cognitive Sciences Laboratory in Palo Alto, California.
Oh, my. Holy crap.
I like that research associate. Right. Not, you know, that's about the most official sounding,
wow.
I have no credentials kind of thing.
That right. Means a grad student, right?
Para-researcher. Yeah.
He's a spokesman for the Parapsychological Association. Again, there's weird.
Yeah.
You know.
Holy crap.
He says, they're entities that have become trapped in the home, and they really just want help to move along. Light candles or incense. Join hands, pray, meditate. The goal is to express your intention that the spirits leave the building.
This guy has not been seeing the same movies that I've seen. Because I'll tell you, incense never worked against these guys.
That's CNN, by the way. This is on CNN's
Jesus
website.
Christ. I'll bet you that whole, that institute is funded by the incense lobby, man. They had deep pockets, those
big
just,
candle.
This really is starting to bother me, the intermingling of the normal and the paranormal in such a way is that
it becomes indistinguishable.
You know, you got a bird in your kitchen, ghost in your bathroom.
They're equally likely,
likely.
And I think nowhere is this more evident than in this new phenomenon called phenomenon.
Surprise. Shocker.
And I have to admit that I've avoided becoming phenomenalized or whatever the hell.
Phenominated.
phenomenalisted or something. I don't know.
Phenomenized.
I'm too busy watching Gordon Ramsay. He's like the greatest guy. You know.
Yeah. I want to bitch slap a ghost.
I just want to walk into any place, you know, like Gordon Ramsay and says, "You fucking tosser."
It's
this
all...
is not food. You'll kill somebody.
And then they'll haunt this place.
That's it. We're cleaning the kitchen, getting rid of all the ghosts.
Light some fucking incense, you tosser.
All right. So there's a big scandal about this show.
Phenomenon.
Phenomenon is kind of like, how would you characterize it?
Pablum?
It's supposedly sort of like a contest for magicians / supernatural type people.
Mentalists. Right. Well, there's quite a few labels that go with
this.
This
is the latest in the reality TV show Who's the Best of This. It's, you know, who's going to be the next Elvira, who's going to be the next Iron Chef.
Now it's the king of the idiots.
It's American Psychic Idol.
You know, the next Apprentice, you know. I mean, they're scraping the barrel. Now it's the next phenomenon.
Right.
So they're getting together all of these people that are basically magicians, mentalists, illusionists.
Supernaturalists. Paranormalists.
I had no idea there was so many different little names for all these people.
Yeah. So, idiots, basically.
Yeah.
Of course, who's the bigger idiot? The guy who's up front, you know, telling you not to look behind the curtain, or the millions of people who tune in to watch it? And
well, you got to kind of hope they don't totally buy into it, but you never know. Anyway.
It is
most of these guys, I guess it's pretty obvious what they're doing and who they are, right? They're magicians. They're
charlatans.
They're doing tricks. Well, they're entertainers.
No, this is true. Well, presumably.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with performing illusions and magical tricks.
Right.
That you call magical tricks.
And there's the rub, I think, in this show.
So we've got this guy and Jim Callahan. Now, he claims that he's actually... Well, Wise Girl, why don't you fill us in on what his story is?
Well, apparently, he has a spirit guide named Raymond who fills him in on, well, things that spirits know.
Like lottery tickets or, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Those are things I would want to be asking my spirit guide, but apparently Raymond doesn't really follow the sports thing.
Bastards. Useless.
Well, let's get a little taste of this guy. This is his spirit buddy on the show where he... well, explain what he did.
He provided a selection of over 100 objects, and guest picker Raven Simone chose one of these objects, presumably without telling him which one she had chosen, and sealed it in a box. His mission was to ask Raymond what's in the box.
The classic question to ask your spirit guide.
And he what he does is he writhes around, right?
Moans and writhes and generally seems to be having some sort of spiritual seizure. Because it's hard work talking to the spirits. It's not fun. By any means.
Oh, no.
You have to be dedicated to do it.
Maybe he needed more incense.
Let's see what he has to say.
Raymond's writing in the mirror. It says, metal, rectangle, four wheels.
Boy, he's out of breath, huh?
Yeah.
I told you, it's hard work.
Is it metal?
It's a spiritual job.
It's metal.
Ladies. I appreciate. I thank you for the entertainment. I hope you enjoyed the entertainment I provided this evening. And I hope it gives you something to remember for the rest of your lives. I thank you.
I totally appreciated the entertainment, man. You are awesome.
You're probably the most controversial person here in the competition. What do you feel about the people that are non-believers who say that this isn't real?
Hold on, I had to catch my breath there. Wise Girl, you okay?
We should have stretched. Shit.
Well, first I did was I hit the... I clicked on play in YouTube. And and then adjusted the volume.
The resolution was crazy.
Okay.
And the next thing you know, Raymond made it all record.
Let me see if I can muster up the strength so we can continue.
Oh, come on, man. You got to do it.
I'm reaching for that mouse.
Oh, God.
I'm clicking.
I am also a skeptic. This is America. I think people should make up their own minds on what they believe and what they think. So that's it.
Well, let's see what Raven thinks. Raven, you seemed shocked again.
Yes, I've been around that box the whole entire time. I picked it out. I have not seen one person pass by it or whatever and whatnot. The door was locked right by. I don't understand.
And no previous rehearsal or conversation?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Thank you very much. Okay, Uri, obviously a very physically demanding performance. What do you think?
Well, that's Uri Geller.
All right.
The infamous mentalist who was exposed by none other than our guest, James Randi.
Like 20 years ago.
Right. Sued him, I think. Did some nasty stuff. And he's still suing people on the internet.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah, yeah. He's claiming that he owns copyright of any video that's critical of him, apparently.
Interesting.
So he's been having
We should get in on that racket.
Seriously. Yeah.
We have to be controversial. But our again, there's a little plug for an up-and-coming show. We've got a song that we're doing that's about the paranormal, kind of making fun of it.
Which really is all that you can do.
And stay tuned for that. We're going to debut it on the show. It's not going to be this episode, but it's going to be good. So let's hear what Uri Geller has to say about the phenomenon.
Jim, your display of supernatural powers is very controversial, but very convincing. I want to believe that there is a Raymond on the other side. Besides, there is a flare of honesty about you that brings credibility to what you say. Very interesting act.
Chris,
is that flare of honesty him panting like a dog?
Right. And when have you ever described an honest person by saying, you have such a flare of honesty?
I think the key
I'm
here is...
I'm putting that in my online profile next. I have a flare of honesty.
I'm flarefully honest.
The key phrase there, I think, was,
I want to believe that there's a Raymond. Raymond, what? And really, it'd have to be true, because if you were lying, you would pick a totally better name for your spirit guide than Raymond. Raymond. Pick fucking Montezuma or Kubla Khan,
or
you
Ramtha.
Know? Yeah. It'd have to be old, though, if he's picking out metal, rectangle, wheels.
And not car.
Which is so much easier to say. Car. It's just the one word.
All right, now we're going to, I think Chris Angel is going to comment on this thing too. Now, Chris Angel, he's got some interesting stuff going on here. He seems to be one of the more rational people that kind of considers himself an entertainer,
he's
this
a classical,
stuff.
Like a magician. Right. You know, he does tricks.
And we're going to talk to James Randi about that, to where the distinction is between, you know, the supernatural buying into it and recognizing that you're an entertainer. But, Here's what happens. Let's continue.
I've just got to know you over the last couple of weeks, but I can see you're itching to say something here.
I just think it's comical, quite frankly. Before I even move ahead here, I'll invite Uri and your friend Raymond right now. I have two envelopes here. I will give you $1 million of my personal money right now if either one of you can tell me specific details of what's... Now, don't tell me about the energy or that it's not the right time.
Okay, man, I'll tell you
what's in here right now.
Tell
me right now what's in the envelope.
I find you an ideological bigot. That's what I...
An ideological bigot. That's a great line.
It's true. Very means very little, but sounds very powerful.
An ideological
bigot. It works especially if you're panting. Because you've been talking to
I mean, isn't everybody an ideological bigot if you kind of are prejudiced against somebody else's ideas? I mean, certainly everybody's got to be not subscribed to something.
I would think that it's not really much a sign of bigotry against psychic powers to ask someone to demonstrate their psychic powers.
You would think
so. You're kind of supporting them.
He's an irrational bigot.
Maybe he's a rational bigot.
Tell me what's in the envelope.
You
right
claim.
Now. Tell me what's in the envelope.
That
tell
you
me what's in the envelope. Don't give.
Oh, see, now they bleeped him out there.
Tell me what's in the envelope. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
please tell
blah,
me.
Blah, blah.
Tell me what's in the envelope. Right here.
Guys. You gotta wonder if this is staged.
Guys.
They're grabbing him and pulling him all around.
Psychic Springer.
It's a live show. This is not planned. We'll see you after the commercial.
This is not planned, but we're so happy that it happened.
Yes, 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 yes.
Holy crap.
Applause.
If you were with the show before the commercial break, you'd be forgiven in thinking it was Jerry Springer. This is actually phenomenon.
Much more credible.
We're back. We're live. The debate rages on who will become the phenomenon. If you believe Jim Callahan should stay in the competition,
kind of stumbles
call
in pants.
1-866-345.
Why do you even need to call? Why don't you just direct your mental energy?
Right.
To him.
If you pick
and
you
Raymond
like
will...
Randall or Raymond, right, just think of a star in our direction. If it's the other guy, think of some wavy lines on a field of blue.
Yeah, something like that.
That would be a much better demonstration.
Indeed. Think 442 to your local spiritual operator.
All right, now here's what Uri Geller said.
Uri.
Wait,
who cares?
Oh, hold
whatever.
Uri. Okay.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, sort of.
Here's what he had to say, after the show, when they realized this thing was going to become blown out of proportion. He has his comment.
Or blown into proportion, damn it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's what Uri had to say.
I thought that Jim had that flair of honesty about him. Now, I'm a huge believer in life after death. Come
flair
on. We all have a spirit and energy in us. Chris Angel can't tell me that there is no soul and that when we die, we don't go to the other side. There's no, you cannot prove it and you cannot disprove it. It's a thing of belief in you, in your heart, in your mind. If you're a spiritual person, I would say that you are a believer. Jim demonstrated something that is unexplainable to some.
Petty.
To some.
Unexplainable to some who don't know how the trick works.
Right.
To some that believe he has an imaginary friend named Raymond.
Or that he just wants to make loads of money.
Or that dealing with Raymond, you know, exhausts him physically.
It's like doing squats.
I mean, it's not like he bent spoons or anything like that, you know, I mean. Okay.
Reading what's written in a mirror is apparently very difficult.
Now listen, Uri gets into physics. I had no idea that he was such an expert, but listen to him talk about...
He's certainly a metaphysicist.
Physics, psychic, you just switch a couple of letters around there, same.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea, but listen.
You know, maybe, I don't know, he uses devices, but at the end of the day, who are you or anyone to tell me that he's not being guided by this Raymond? Maybe this is how Raymond on the other side wants it to happen.
Because Raymond's a dick.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He doesn't want his friend to have $1 million.
I will step up and say, I am the one to tell you, Mr. Geller, that this is bullshit.
All right. You know? All right, well, let's get to the physics part. It's in there.
So there are certain things that are unexplainable in the universe and mysterious.
Therefore, Raymond did it.
Tell you something important. Put aside the mumbo jumbo. 1925, a man with curly hair writes an equation, E equals MC squared. Of course, it was Albert Einstein. And you know, we still don't understand that, what he said in that equation.
Well,
and
you don't.
And it was his curly hair that was the secret to the whole equation.
It was mystical and gave him divine powers of...
We still don't understand E equals MC squared.
I think there are a bunch of people, you know, at colleges across the country that probably might bristle at that statement.
and several more who really don't understand it, but...
Oh, I'm not sure
it's a universal mystery kind of thing, right. So much as a... not very well educated kind of thing.
Well, I think we've got two fallacies. He's two of the same fallacy where he kind of does this association thing where
right.
He says, you know, you can't prove there isn't a God, so therefore his imaginary friend Raymond is legitimate.
Right. And you don't understand quantum physics or special
so
relativity.
So therefore, you know.
Therefore, Raymond exists.
Raymond exists.
It's a big circle. It always comes back to Raymond.
If you can't explain Einstein's theory of relativity, then my spoon bending thing is real. I gotcha.
You know, if I bang this, it looks to me solid. It feels solid, but it's not. Albert Einstein proved that everything in the universe is energy. We live in an ocean of motion.
Ocean
everything vibrates.
Motion.
There's a frequency to everything. And he also proved that energy cannot be destroyed.
Cannot be destroyed.
Actually, I think Newton was the one with the energy not being destroyed. But, you know, whatever. He's a German or Eastern European mentalist.
I think Einstein proved that energy and matter are the same thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not the same thing as energy being eternal.
I think our heads would explode if we tried to work our way through
Mr.
Geller's
logic. Yeah, I don't think Einstein was the first one to come up with some of that stuff, you know.
Now, but by God, Uri's going to use it to prove that Raymond wrote in a mirror in some plane.
Well, let's hear Chris Angel. When I first saw his show,
it's pretty ridiculous. I mean,
it is ridiculous and it's kind of stupid, but it's refreshing to know that he recognizes that he's an entertainer.
Yeah,
and he apparently has a relationship with James Randi. So we'll ask.
Well, he knows
James
of
Randi
him at least,
it.
But yeah, we definitely. Do
well,
know.
They apparently. I wouldn't be surprised if the two of them talk because.
They both have come from similar backgrounds.
I think I've read stuff where James Randi might have talked to him and said, "Look, if you're going to be on this show, you know, don't fuel
don't
the fire
over.
Of these yeah. these people."
And he certainly appeared not to in that instance.
Yeah, and now here's what Chris Angel has to say about the situation.
Well, look, I'm not here to rip him. You know, for the sake of ripping him, I just have a real big problem with people that go out there and claim to have some ability that's beyond trickery. I've done 900 demonstrations and I've never claimed to have supernatural psychic ability. I've been hired by the producers of the show to give my honest assessment based on my knowledge in the arts. And when I see somebody using trickery, you know, things that I did when I was 14 years old, and then trying to pass it off as, you know, some psychic ability or he's a medium, he's talking to the dead, you know, it's a bunch of bull. And I'm not going to stand for that. And I asked him a very, very simple question.
Can you believe they bleeped out him saying bullshit? I would have loved, you know, I need that for my show there.
You know what?
This
if you're claiming
Chris
to
Angel,
have this then. Ability, and Uri, if you're claiming to have this ability, you know, here is two envelopes that are in my hand. Tell me specific details of what's in the envelopes and forget about the $250.
You know what? I could take an educated guess of what's in the envelope. I'm sure I'd say some condoms.
Square. Metal.
Some
wheels.
Condoms, a couple of phone numbers.
A giant check from the producers of
right.
Phenomenon.
You know, like a valet parking ticket, maybe?
Hate mail from the governor of Georgia.
I'll give you $1 million of my own cash if you can do that. And you know what? If you can also do that, why don't you tell us where Bin Laden is? Why don't you tell us about 9/11 on 9/10? If you're an American citizen, that would be treason. It's all a bunch of claims that are taking advantage. A lot of people out there go to people to know about their travesty of losing a loved one, and they go to people to supposedly connect to their past loved one, and what these people are doing is just taking their money and doing nothing more than cold reading and just doing things that I've done, like I said, since I was a kid.
And, you know, I think that sums up where the real conflict is and
oh,
one of
totally.
The reasons why these people are really kind of pissed off.
Where it actually hurts. Like, you know, to entertain is one thing, but where it actually hurts people. But I love how he tied it in to, you know, like, where is Bin Laden? If you're a psychic, hell yeah, you should be able to point to a map and be like, yep, he's in that, you know, he's right over there. Just like Mr. Callahan did with saying that he was also a skeptic and that this is America and you could believe whatever you want to believe just to try and tie it into some bizarro patriotism. Just, ugh.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is he talks about how these psychics, these people that claim they have special powers, are taking advantage of people. And I guess another example that I just learned about recently is this field called facilitated communication. And maybe Wise Girl can fill us in on what the deal is with this facilitated communication thing.
Well, basically, it's let's call it pseudoscientific attempt to help people, often children, who can't communicate themselves because they are autistic or mentally retarded. They do not have the power of speech. And the idea is that the facilitated communicator helps them to select items on a keyboard to express what they want to say. But since they can't speak, how do we know that what they are telling us is what the person actually wants
to say?
Right,
this is just like the horse whisperer, the dog whisperer, right? You know, the dog
psychic. It's
like
Clever Hans the horse, where the horse could do math problems. Well,
you could just say, you know, I sense your little young Timmy is hungry. You know. But apparently this
is... And you give him a cookie and he eats it. So, wow, it must work.
This is a big problem because obviously they're preying on people that want to make some kind of connection with their children who have issues with communicating. And
right. The whole area of autism is just ripe for this kind of trickery because the parents want so desperately to be able to reach their children. There are all sorts of special diets and special treatments and special training programs, some of which might actually work, but the parents are desperate enough that they will try just about anything, and
right.
They don't necessarily need a whole lot of proof.
And there's not, I guess there's not really a whole lot of regulation of this. All of this supernatural mumbo-jumbo.
I'd be willing to bet there was absolutely none.
Yeah. We'd like to welcome James Randi to the show. First off, I was surfing your website, and I noticed something on the website, and maybe you can clarify what it is. What's a woo-woo?
Well, it's something, frankly, that we're trying to get into the vocabulary, and it's increasingly being circulated when you... I do a Google on it every now and then, and the term is beginning to be picked up. We mean anything that's highly unlikely to be true and smacks of superstition or mythology or... pseudoscience, doubtful things, in other words.
Is there any kind of source for the actual word woo?
Well, I've always used woo-woo to describe this sort of thing over the years, and I've heard other people use it, and it's been generally understood when I've used it, so I thought it should become part of the language. And if you use it enough and get it around, Webster eventually will look around and say, hey, here's a new word, and they'll stick it in their dictionary, and that would be... very satisfactory for us.
Excellent.
So last we heard, there was this speaker cable manufacturer who had some very expensive cables for several thousand dollars that they were claiming really improved fidelity. And y'all were talking about a challenge, and they were going to actually put their speaker cables where their marketing claims are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the status of that?
Well, the company is the Pear, P-E-A-R, cable company, and they have a particular set of cables. I think they're something like $7,000. I've forgotten now. And these are just speaker cables, 10-foot cables that lead from your amplifier to your speakers. Now, that seems to be a simple connection to me. It's after all, it's low voltage that's getting in there. It's a signal which can be aggravated and added to and subtracted from and deteriorated if you don't have sufficient conductivity in the wires, that is a lack of resistance and impedance in the wires. But ordinary zip cord usually takes care of that, and by zip cord I mean cord that you use to wire up electric appliances. Now, low gauge zip cord won't do this properly. And you might be able to tell the difference because there is a certain amount of resistance in that. But in all cases, such things as Monster Cable, it's a big company that makes very good cable, speaker cables, mm-hmm. and other different gimmicks that are used in the audio business as well. And moderately priced, like $50 or so, speaker cables, which I think is overpriced at that, even though it's supposed to be a high-grade cable, it's nothing but glorified zip cord, high-gauge zip cord. And again, the zip cord can pick up all kinds of interferences, RF interference and various inductive interferences and effects like that. But after all, we're listening to it with a pair of human ears, and the ears are wonderful devices, but they're not all that accurate. If you put some instruments on the thing, I'm sure you would be able to find that a more expensive cable does a better job of conducting the signal, but not so that the ear can tell the difference.
Maybe
now,
your dog
the
can
whole
tell.
Audio business is rifled with people who we call audio fools rather than audiophiles, who buy all kinds of expensive things. I just put something up on the webpage yesterday, as a matter of fact, about switch plates.
Oh, we saw that. That's right. Just unbelievable.
Well, not switch plates. They should be called receptacle plates, actually. For the walls that sell for $30 a piece. And audiophiles, audio fools, will actually buy these things. And it says that every outlet in the audio room, that is the room that where you're listening to your music or watching your TV, should be equipped with this. They're ordinary pieces of plastic. They're no different from any other 29-cent plate that you would buy at Home Depot, for example. But they sell for $30.
Wow.
So these people are using their imagination. And one of them that's using his imagination, I think, is the president of the Paracable Company. Now, maybe he thinks he can tell the difference between his cables and glorified zip cord, but I don't think so. Well, he dropped out right away. He decided that he wouldn't supply a set of these expensive cables for testing purposes. And, gee, I thought that would be the end of it, because I'm not about to buy them, that's for sure. And but this gentleman, Michael Framer, who is with Stereophile magazine, who have committed all kinds of other nonsense in the
right,
field,
he's
the audio
one. What did,
field.
How did he characterize those cables? There was something very amusing he said about them. That they were delicious or something?
Yes, he said they were danceable.
Danceable.
come on. Cables are danceable? Well, that's his use of language. It's colorful, all right. I forgive him for that rather bad metaphor, but nonetheless, that's what he used. And he said that he could tell the difference. I said, gee, I don't think so. He said, oh, well, I'll take you up on your $1 million offer. Now, the reason that we've extended the $1 million offer to audio cables is simply that we want to show that people have very bad judgment when it comes to ascertaining whether or not they have certain sensibilities, unless they do the tests in a double-blind fashion. Now, Framer claims that he's done this before. Okay, I don't think he has. Or if he has done it, I think he either got lucky or he didn't do the test properly. Because it's generally agreed in the audio field among people who really know that you cannot tell the difference between... Now, another set of cables is selling for $42,000. But, of course, now we found out that some of those cables are not just ordinary cables. They've got all kinds of little transformers and circuitry in them, built into them. So that's not eligible for the test, because we're not testing circuits. We're testing simple lead cables that go from the amplifier to the speakers. That's
super
all
copy.
Directly. So that's what we're testing. And the state of the thing is right now that we're at an impasse. We're waiting for Mr. Framer to respond to see what he will say about whether or not he can get a set of these cables. And we're talking about the Pair Anjou cables now. That's the specific set of cables that we've offered the challenge for. And we're waiting to see whether Mr. Framer is going to come up with a set of these cables, whether he buys them, borrows them, steals them. I don't care. Maybe finds them in the trash someplace or something, threw them out. I'm not too sure where he'll get them. But in any case, as soon as he gets them, we will do the test.
So your contention is that these people really don't believe what they're saying. It's just
No. I think that they do believe that what they're saying, but they're self-deluded. Now, self-delusion is very easy. As a magician, I know very well that my audiences, if they're sitting there watching the magic show or either watching me do some trick or stunt or whatever, an illusion of some kind, that they will fool themselves easier than I can fool them. I allow them to make assumptions as we go along, and what they assume from their own sensory input is much stronger to them than anything that I would tell them, because they will say, oh, he's a professional deceiver. He would lie to me. So I let them find out for themselves. Actually, they're finding out wrong information. The magician, after all, is very, very honest. He says, I'm going to fool you. And then he goes right ahead and does it. And the people don't know how they've been fooled. Or in some cases, they don't know if they've been fooled.
Okay. So, which brings us to another series of questions that I wanted to ask you about this show phenomenon, which I guess you're paying close attention to, and there's lots of little mini scandals involving some of the contestants and some of the judges.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of your favorite people on the planet is on this show, and I'm sure you're probably wondering whether this is more evidence there is no God, right? That Uri Geller gets up there. I'm curious, what's your take on phenomenon? You're paying attention to it, so are you amused by it, or does it disturb you?
Oh, I'm rather dismayed by it. It's just another one of these talent shows, and what Uri Geller and Chris Angel are doing there is they're supposed to be giving opinions as each act performs as to whether or not the act was competent and was effective and such, and Geller is sitting, he loves everybody. No matter if they came out there and they floundered and failed completely, he'd still love them.
He's like
the
Paula Abdul, huh?
Yes, yes, exactly. His expression is mind blown. Oh, my mind was blown. Wait a minute. Oh, I've got an interruption here. I'll have
God?
To take this call. Excuse me for 1 second.
Certainly.
Okay, I've got my new iPhone here, you see.
Oh, nice.
And this is...
I thought you would not be one of these people that had to jump on the latest kind of thing.
Well, Apple gave it to me.
Oh, so, nice.
What can you do? I have to be gracious and accept these gifts, of course. And
I wish I had that problem.
Well, it's a lovely instrument, I can tell you that. But nonetheless, let's get back in business here.
Certainly. Mind-blowing, you were saying.
Indeed, indeed.
So we're talking about phenomenon, and... you were telling us your take on that show.
Oh, yes. Now, it appears that Geller just essentially does nothing. They're only using his name, and I think that the NBC producer was perhaps a little poorly informed as to what Geller's power is in this country now. He's lived in England for years now, and he may have moved to England to get away from me. I don't know, but I go to England every now and then, so probably they're going to have to start the filters going at the airport.
I'm sure he senses when you're there, too.
In any case, Geller looks like as if he's doing really nothing there. He's just oohing and aahing and having his mind blown, his favorite expression.
Kind of like Paula Abdul.
Yes, exactly. Left and right, he just can't bear these wonderful things that are happening. Of course, he's very well aware. He's a magician. He's a conjurer. He knows what the methods are. And now he's doing a strange thing. It started with this program, as a matter of fact. YouTube has got a lot of Geller exposure material up there, and if you go to our website, we'll be happy to show it to you, as
That's
I'm sure you might have expected. But the point is that he doesn't have any more tricks that have not been exposed, and he has such a small repertoire. In any case, he's what we call a three-trick pony, and this stuff is on YouTube. Now, I think Geller has realized that he's got to back down from his position of saying, I've never been a conjurer, I've never been a magician, I don't know how to do tricks, and I will never do tricks, etc., etc. He said this for the last 30 years. But now I think he's in a position where he has to back down from that because the tricks have been exposed, and they're obviously tricks. But he can't do that. He can't do that simply because he has cost a lot of academics a lot of credit, academic credit, by fooling them. They believed him. They decided to trust him, and he fooled them, and he led them astray. And now he's cost a lot of institutional money to be spent investigating the so-called Geller effect of bending spoons and whatnot. Da-da. But I think he's going to have a hard time explaining that. But I think he's trying to find a way to back out.
Chris Angel, from the looks of the show, appears to be more on the side of rationalism.
Oh, very much. Very much. I've known Chris for many, many years. Many years back. I guess at least 10 or 12 years. Oh, must be more than that now. And yes, he's always been a rationalist. He doesn't make claims on his show that he has psychic powers. He wouldn't do that. He's very much on the side of the angels when it comes to this particular aspect of not being a claimant to supernatural powers. And I respect him for that. He certainly came out against the fellow, what was his name?
Jim Callahan.
Callahan, yes, I'd forgotten. Sorry.
His pal,
shows what kind of an impression he made on me. this fellow Callahan, who was writhing and groaning and carrying on in the chair there. He was obviously trying to give the impression that he was speaking this with the spirit of some person we never heard of before, right. And that that person would tell him what object was selected at random by somebody in the audience. I've forgotten what that whole...
Yeah, we played it earlier.
It's almost indecipherable. You can't figure out why he's doing this. Certainly, he ruined the chair, I'm sure, and probably a pair of pants at the same time. But he got his comeuppance. The Angel set into him, and quite rightly so. And my applause to Criss Angel is rather loud.
Is there some kind of epic battle brewing between these paranormalists and the illusionists?
Because, yeah, well, but the point is that, let's get a definition going here. A mentalist is in the trade. This is the definition of a mentalist, is a magician who appears to be performing using mental powers. Now, they don't make any bones about this. People like Banachek, for example, and then Darren Brown, they make it very plain that they are not using paranormal or psychic or supernatural powers. They say that repeatedly, and they make sure that it's very clear to their audiences that that's what their stance is. So when the mentalists perform, I have every bit of respect for mentalists. As a matter of fact, a couple of the performers, and I guess I shouldn't name them specifically, a couple of the performers on Phenomenon have been very good. They've presented some mind-boggling, oh, there I go, mind-blowing stuff. Yeah, they really did. They performed very, very well, I think. And I my hat's off to them. They did good mentalism, but they did not claim that they had supernatural powers.
And they didn't huff and puff like they'd blown one of the little pigs' houses down. So there's definitely a difference. And what is a paranormalist then, or a psychic? How do you make that distinction?
Well, the paranormalist will... it depends what you mean by paranormalist. If you're talking about a scientist who is a parapsychologist, that's a different matter altogether. But someone who claims paranormal powers is being dishonest. And magicians are the most honest people in the world. As my friend Jamie Ian Swiss has said so many times, they're so honest, they tell you, I'm going to fool you, and then they do. But they tell you up front that what they're doing is deception. But they do it for purposes of entertainment, and that, in my estimation, is completely forgivable. You're telling people, is just like an actor. A movie actor or a play actor or whatever, or on television, you don't really believe, for example, that David Copperfield cuts somebody in half with a buzzsaw and then restores her into one piece again. I don't think you really believe that. I hope you don't, but if you do, you're mentally challenged, or judgmentally challenged, perhaps. I think that you know very well that these people are doing tricks. They're performing illusions. The fact that you don't know how they do them doesn't make them paranormal. It doesn't make them supernatural.
Now, I saw a show recently called Breaking the Magician's Code, where revealed these tricks. Mm-hmm. Now, you expose paranormal claims on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's fair game to expose illusionist tricks?
I don't think so, because people make an honest living using these things. This is very much like finding a nice girl that you're interested in, and you take up a romance with her and everything, and then you go and tell everybody at work exactly what happened the night before. It's not very gentlemanly, I would say. And certainly it can destroy the person's reputation. And in the case of the magicians, if their secret is out, they just can't do that trick again until considerable time has passed and people have forgotten about what the solution to it was. Usually the solution is very simple, as you saw in that show. The secret, or pardon me, the beauty of the performance is not in the secret. It's in the persona of the person who performs. It's very much like a song. Two different people can sing a song, or an operatic aria, for example, and it'll be totally different because it depends on the skill of the performer. And that's what people go to see. They don't go to see David Copperfield saw a girl in two with a buzzsaw. That's part of it, but they go to see David Copperfield, basically. That's who they go to see.
Mm-hmm. This was the first time I saw that show, and I was really blown away by how sophisticated and in some ways and how simple some of the tricks were.
Yeah, oh, indeed. That's something magicians learn right off the bat, of course. First thing you find out is, gee, that's not too difficult a principle after all, but then it's what you do with it. A toothbrush is a very, very simple instrument. No moving parts. Very simple. Anyone can make one or buy one and use them, but using it, properly takes a certain amount of skill, and you get that with practice.
Do you think we're getting more or less rational over time? I mean, we'd like to think that we're more rational than people in the Middle Ages, the age of superstition. But do you think that there's a long-term trend away from superstition and magical thinking, or is it something more cyclical?
Well, I'm afraid that it seems to be getting worse because of the new methods of communication we have. We have the Internet, which can be and is very, very powerful when it's used properly, but it's also very powerful when it's used poorly. So we can get a lot of information, but we've got to be able to sort through that information and evaluate that information. Is it real data? Yes or no? Now, making that decision is not always easy. That's the big problem with these bits of communication that come through to us and the information channels via which it arrives. You've got to be very, very careful. When printing was developed, oh, that was a wonderful, to say, oh, it's marvelous. Books don't cost what they used to cost at all. And now many people more can have books. Now, not everybody could, of course, but many more people had books available to them because they can be printed rather than written out word for word and letter for letter. And it also cuts down on the number of errors that will be in the books. But then the misinformation went out there, too, the same way as it has happened with the Internet. And with the Internet, with the computer age, we have such an easy source of information. This morning on this new iPhone, I looked up my property by typing in the address, and I saw an aerial picture of my property. Wow. Satellite pictures showed the exact layout of my house, and I was just astonished. I knew this through Google, and the Google system is on the iPhone. But the fact that on my telephone I can get a picture of somebody's property out of the foundation where I sit at this very moment, that's astonishing. But at the same time, you've got to make sure this information is legitimate.
Right, right.
So, but it seems like there's still that our willingness to be deceived, because just as there is a lot of information, a la pair speaker cables and whatnot, there's just as much information about how these claims are false.
Oh, yeah.
And so this, it seems that there always has to be that human element for, I guess, willful.
Yeah, do you think that that part of this is a kind of a supply and demand, that humanity has a need to want?
It's always supply and demand. That's what it's all built on, of course. And people not only want to believe the woo-woo stuff, they need to believe it. And that's the word that you must always use when you refer to this matter. They need it to be true. They need there to be an afterlife, or they say, what's the use of living? I might as well just go and sit in the corner and die. No, I think that's not the right solution. I would think that perhaps making yourself useful for the time that you are here in this existence, that would be a grand idea. And that's what I do every day, and I find it very rewarding. But people want woo-woo. They want false beliefs. And the crazier they are, the more they will believe them. By the way, I can sell you some receptacle plates for the wall.
Only $30 a piece.
Yes.
I have to have those.
Well, they're two for $55, so I'd order a pair of them if I were you.
It's a bargain.
I'd hate to see what the screws cost for that thing.
Ah, you forgot to ask about that, yes.
Do you think there's any benefit to believing in the supernatural, or is it just the pandering? People have a need to feel that there's something larger than they
are? It can be fun. It can be fun. But not to really believe in it, but it can be fun. I have a wonderful time with movies and such. I go to see movies like Star Wars, but I don't believe these people are actually fighting in space with ray guns. I don't believe that. But some people may. I'm not sure. The point is, you've got to take fantasy for what it is and enjoy it for what it is. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's Puss in Boots. It's all of these things that we used to have as kids, and they're of a bygone age now. Children, I guess, aren't as entertained by these things. I would hope by Alice in Wonderland, because that's a great story. Mm-hmm. But the point is, we have to get some realism in our lives. We really have to get it going for us, because that's the way the world operates, and that's what's going to help us in the long run. Fantasy is okay in its place, but let's get real.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you one final question here. If you could wave a magic wand and make one field of the paranormal disappear, What would it be?
It would be the faith healing aspect. And that is a paranormal claim, yes, that by invocation of mysterious heavenly powers, angels and whatnot, that you can heal people. I think that kills more people every year than any belief in telepathy or flying saucers or any such thing. And it's something that really should be put a stop to. They tried to put Peter Popoff out of business some years ago. I did it on the Carson Show, and he went out of business. He declared bankruptcy. Now, that was a false declaration of bankruptcy. I'm very sure of that from internal information that I've been able to obtain. The point is that he's back in business and making more money than when he was exposed on the Carson Show. So people not only want to believe, they need to believe, and they need nonsense. And I think that's a great pity.
I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us. The website is www.randi.org. That's R-A-N-D-I. Do you have any other websites or other projects that you've got going?
No, that's our only website, and it's updated regularly every week, Thursday night at midnight or Friday morning. We update the webpage all over the world, and it's all archived, so you can go into the little search box at the upper right there and click in any subject that your little heart needs to know about. And whether you want to believe in it or not, it's discussed there, I'm sure.
Well, that's great. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll hope to hear from you again.
And here we are, the end of another episode.
It was danceable.
It was danceable,
It was definitely danceable.
And we're not even charging you $7,000 for it either.
Although we will, if
you
want.
If you send it, we will take it.
We'll have a special high bandwidth version for you audiophiles out there.
Gold-plated MP3.
8 million kbits or whatever.
Your ears will be blown away.
Yes,
mind blown.
Well, we want to thank James Randi for coming on the show. And remember, his website is www.randi, with an I, like the all-seeing eye. .org. And don't forget our website. It's www.bsalert.com.
Woo-hoo.
And you'll always be able to find all the podcasts at podcasts.bsalert.com.
Or on iTunes.
Or on iTunes. Yes, we are on iTunes. I'd like to find out if we can figure out how many subscribers we have through there. But if you go to podcast.bsalert.com, there's links to iTunes, to all different kinds of stuff. There's even a little feature where you can be emailed whenever a new show comes out with a link straight to the show, so you can take advantage of that. And we've got also a page of little things that you can embed in your MySpace or your YouTube or your Facebook.
Or whatever the kids are using nowadays.
Right, right. You know, little applets, whatever you call them, web dingleberries that you can plug in there. Do magical things. It'll make your computer sound 1,000,000% better.
We'll beam it right into your mind.
Yes, yes. So, again, thanks for listening, and until the next show, we'll see you.